Hello, everybody. How y'all doing? Welcome to the Hidden History of Music. I'm the maestro, Hank. No, actually, I'm your host. I'm Hank Wilson. And today we're talking about Franz Schubert. Call it kind of like the unfinished life of a true musical genius. Now, when we think of our musical giants, especially in classical music, we think of Beethoven, Mozart, and Bach. The name Franz Schubert doesn't really kind of pop to mind, at least to a lot of people. But his melodies are among the most hauntingly beautiful ever written. What makes his story truly remarkable is not just his talent, but the quiet, kind of invisible way he lived and how much he created in a really short life. So in this episode, I'm going to look at the world of Franz Peter Schubert, a man who wrote over 600 songs, symphonies, chamber works, and piano pieces, all before his death at the age of 31. He was born in Vienna in January of 1797. He was the 12th child in a large family. His father was a schoolmaster, his mother a homemaker, but she loved to sing. Now, the whole Schubert household was musical, not necessarily wealthy. They really weren't wealthy. In evenings, meant family music sessions with Franz playing violin or piano while his brothers sang. Now, by all accounts, he was small. He was a small, quiet kid, barely over 5 feet tall as an adult with a round face and thick glasses. His friends called him Schwammer, which means little mushroom. Now, you know, that's not exactly a glamorous nickname, but it was given to him with affection. Now, from an early age, it was clear that music did come naturally to him. His father and older brother gave him lessons, and before long, his ability outpaced that of his teachers. In fact, in 1808, when he was just 11 years old, he won a scholarship to the Imperial Choir School in Vienna. There, he spent his time surrounded by music, and of course, he studied theory and composition, and he sang in the court chapel choir. But he wasn't a prodigy in a flashy sense, like we sometimes think of Mozart. He didn't perform publicly or seek attention. He simply absorbed everything, harmony, structure, the sound of the human voice, and he quietly began composing. He just began to write music. Now, if you've seen pictures of the Vienna Boys Choir, you know that they all have very high voices. And so after his voice changed, he couldn't stay in the choir. And like many young guys at his time, he was taught and he trained as a school teacher. By age 16, he was working at his father's school, teaching little children their lessons during the day, and then writing music far into the night. So here you've got, picture this, you've got him up there in front of the classroom teaching arithmetic in the morning. And in evening, he's sitting there sketching first drafts of works that would one day stand alongside the greatest composers in history. Between 1813 and 1815, his creativity just exploded. In 1 year, 1815, he composed about 145 songs. Now, that's roughly one every 2 or 3 days. Among them were some masterpieces like Gretchen, Sperad and Erkenning, songs that transformed the German Lied, or art song, into something emotionally powerful and dramatically alive. Still, though, he wasn't successful. Success didn't follow him. Publishers ignored him. Okay, they just didn't pay attention. And he struggled financially. Artist, what happens? You struggle. Now, most of his music circulated only among his friends. He was part of a warm artistic circle in Vienna of painters, poets, fellow musicians who did admire him deeply. And they would gather for evenings of music, food, and conversation. It's called the famous Schubertiades. My German is not really good. What can I say? There weren't concerts in grand halls. They were living room gatherings where people would sing his songs, play his chamber works, and marvel at his melodies. He didn't have patrons or wealthy sponsors. His audience was small, very devoted, and that intimate, the intimacy of that kind of atmosphere. It truly shaped much of his writing. So, one of the things that set Schubert apart is how human his music feels, how he reaches us. His songs speak to ordinary emotions, longing, loss, friendship, nature, faith. Unlike Beethoven, you know, who we've done his thing, his biography, Beethoven wrestled with grand philosophical ideas of nature and life. Schubert painted feelings that everyone could recognize. He could capture the ache of unfilled love in just a few bars of music, or the quiet peace of a walk through the woods. And though he was a quiet man, his friends all said the same thing, that he was full of humor, warmth, and, more importantly, sharp observation of life. Now, Schubert could be shy, even awkward, but he was also quick to laugh and completely absorbed whenever music took hold of him, reached and grabbed his soul. But life wasn't easy. He never held a steady musical position, and money was always tight. At times, he shared a single room with friends, composing on borrowed paper or whatever scraps of paper he could find. Yet, he kept going, writing symphonies, piano sonatas, one of which is playing in the background as I tell his story, and chamber works with astonishing speed. By his mid-20s, though, his health began to falter. Now, we don't know for sure, but many historians believe he actually contracted syphilis around 1823, and that illness shadowed him the rest of his life. Treatments at that time were primitive and painful, and I'm not going to go into them because they really will make you cringe, and the disease carried a heavy social stigma. Now, he did go through periods of depression and isolation, which makes sense, but he also had incredible bursts of creativity. Some of his most profound works, like the song Die Schöne Müllerin and Lieder Winterreise, seem to reflect both his suffering and his search for meaning. He once wrote to a colleague, "I feel myself to be the most unhappy and wretched creature in the world." Now, that's so sad, but his music tells a different story, one of resilience, introspection, and beauty that was found inside the sadness that was his life. Despite everything, he kept composing. He wrote the Unfinished Symphony, which, true to its name, has only two completed movements, and some of his most lyrical piano music. He applied for a teaching post in 1826, hoping for just a little bit of stability. I know that feeling, but he didn't get it. Still, he carried on. He didn't stop. Finally, in 1827, Beethoven, which was actually his idol and also a fellow Viennese composer, died. Schubert was one of the torchbearers at Beethoven's funeral, and though they never became close, Schubert revered him deeply. It is said that he once exclaimed, "Who can do anything after Beethoven?" Yet, within a year, Schubert himself was gone. In the fall of 1828, he fell ill, probably from typhoid fever, possibly, you know, he was already unhealthy, so it was worsened by his already fragile health. He was staying with his brother when the illness grew worse, and on October 19, 1828, at just 31 years old, Franz Schubert died quietly in Vienna. He was buried near Beethoven, as he had wished, in his epitaph written by poet Franz Gilparzer reads, "Here, music has buried a rich treasure, but even fairer hopes." Now, when Schubert died, most of his greatest works were unpublished, and his fame was limited to his small circle of friends. But within a few decades, that changed. Robert Schumann, Felix Mendelssohn, and later Johannes Brahms discovered his manuscripts, championed his music, and brought it to concert halls across Europe. Today, Schubert stands as one of the most beloved composers in all of Western music. His songs are cornerstones of the classical repertoire. His symphonies admired for their lyricism and structure, and his chamber works cherished by musicians and audiences alike. What makes his legacy extraordinary is how personal it feels. Schubert You know, he didn't write for power, prestige, or profit in any of the gardens of peace. He wrote because he had to. It was burning inside. He had to tell the story because music was how he processed life itself. Joy, love, sorrow, and fleeting bureau. Feeding beauty bureau. Okay, that's good. And I'm not going to cut that out. I like that. In a way, the Unfinished Symphony has become a symbol of Schubert's own story, a life cut short, a masterpiece that stops mid-thought, yet somehow feels complete. Franz Schubert never led an orchestra, never enjoyed fame, and never lived to hear his greatest works performed in grand halls. But what he left behind continues to speak to the human spirit, tender, searching, and timeless. His life reminds us that recognition isn't always the measure of greatness. Sometimes the quiet voices, the ones who simply keep creating despite everything, are the ones that echo the longest. I'm Hank Wilson. This has been the Hidden History of Music. Join me next time, and thank you for joining me this time. I'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye, folks, and peace.